head coach of the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers, Jeff Ross. Today I'm with Matt Jones, Kevin Harnett, Pat Forty. I'm with Anoush Sariat, Kristen Wall, United States Congressman John Yarman, Sarah Bohanter, and
welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am Podcast Network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So,
and here we are back with a very special episode of the Rusty Satellite Show, the home of the most interesting people in the Ville. And this week, I've come up with three moderately interesting people here. They're all my offspring, my sons. My three sons are here in the studio right here in St. Matthews. This is a rare thing because two of them live far away. And so I'm thrilled to have all these guys here in the studio. Josh, Nick, and what's your name?
Luke.
Luke is the other one. He's here as well. So we're going to do a special show. We're going to talk to all three of these guys and update you on what's going on in their lives and what they think about some things. First of all, I want to tell you about the show, though. It's the Rusty Satellite Show, home of the most interesting people in the Ville. We have a great set of sponsors, Passport Health Plan, which is sponsoring a project that I do called PassportWellbeing.com. You can look that up. I've written a bunch of stories about what's going on in the West End. And if you've been down to 18th and Broadway lately, you can see the Passport building coming up out of the ground. It's really cool. We're also sponsored by Heiser Health, which is in the Melwood Arts Center, is where I go do exercise classes, and some really great folks in there. The first of the year is a great time to start getting back in shape because, like me, you ate things you shouldn't have eaten over the Christmas holidays. And finally, my friends at the Eye Care Institute down on Story Avenue here in Butchertown, you can call them for an appointment at 502-589-1500, and you get LASIK just like I did this summer, and all things visually will be better for you. So there we go. So here we are, guys. We're going to come back and do the first segment of the show. As you know, the show is divided into three segments. You guys are ready?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Very ready.
Okay. And we're going to get some enthusiasm coming. Yeah, I was ready before ready was thought of. So anyway, that's what it is. A very special episode of the Rusty Satellite Show with the Redding Boys. We'll get started right after
this. I admit, I used to think people addicted to painkillers just needed to toughen up. Until it happened to my daughter. She really needed help. Thanks to Passport, we got it for her. Our doctor and her Passport case manager made sure she got the services and treatment she needed. Together, we got through it.
Find out how you can get Passport at passporthealthplan.com/together. Passport Health Plan. We're in this together.
And as I mentioned, this is the Rusty Satellite Show. This is your host, Rick Redding, talking with my three sons right here in the studio in St. Matthews. And we're going to start off. A lot of people, probably the biggest question I get when I'm out talking about this show around town is, where'd you get that name? Listeners know, if you listen, Nick was on this show one time before and we talked about it, but it's the creation of my son, Nick Redding.
Yep.
So, Nick, welcome to the show. Since I probably get it wrong, very briefly, tell me the story again, how Rusty Satellite came to be.
It's really not such a great story. It's basically that in the 1990s, there were these websites that generated interesting names. And I put my own name into it, and it came back as Rusty Satellites. So that's basically it.
There you go. And it became you did a comic strip, right? And some other things.
Yeah, that was for Super Pickle.
Yeah. And I kept saying, that ought to be a band name, and you wouldn't do it. And I said, I'll keep that name in mind, and someday there will be a podcast. And
but I had a band anyway. I mean, it was Oodalali.
Oodalali. I never got into that name as much.
I didn't need the name.
What? That's a great name.
Yeah. Wasn't there like 10 out of 10. Giant Machine something as well?
Wow. Taking me back. Giant Laser Cannons.
Giant Laser Cannons.
Giant Laser Cannons. That's a ska band name.
Giant Laser Cannons was a ska band.
All right. Well,
if anyone's listening to this who is a member of Giant Laser Cannons, wow.
It's not copyrighted, I'm sure. You now live in Italy, Nick, and that's amazing. And when I tell people my son lives in Italy, they go, "Oh, I've been there. Where is it?" And so I've been getting it wrong all this time. I understand that you live in the city of Arezzo in the region of Tuscany, which is
like anywhere. You get used to it, you know. I mean, yeah, the strangest part is that when you live in a place where people think this is a wonderful place to live, then it's difficult to really accurately consider how it is to be there.
Yeah, it's different for me and a tourist because Josh and Luke, you guys were both there as tourists, right? You went to visit, Nick.
We did, yeah, and it's a beautiful city and beautiful country, and we had a lot of fun there. A lot of really good food, good wine, all the things you expect from Italy. It provided them all.
For me, it's home. It's just home, simply. So.
Well, I'm curious about your you got a current project going on relating to Shakespeare, Nick, and
sure.
So, of course, I don't know a lot about Shakespeare. You do. Mm. Tell me about your project.
The basic idea is we are going into this theater in a city called Anghiari, and we are giving to some of the students there a presentation of Hamlet.
And okay.
So we chose Hamlet as our own topic, and the basic premise of the whole kind of program is that we will do certain organization or certain workshops for the students, and then give an hour long version of Hamlet.
Wow.
For them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that works.
So.
Yeah.
It's obviously.
And in Italian though. You've.
No, I mean, not in Italian. That's,
okay.
That's the point.
Is it, okay.
It's in original language, and so they're. It's obviously very difficult. When you obviously see a Shakespeare play here, it seems like a foreign language, and so our goal is to make it more like something quite modern, something that speaks to the audience while they're watching it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we certainly you've taken a wild and winding road there, because we remember. In fact, listeners of the show probably remember me talking about it. You've been lived in Colorado, Washington State, New Orleans. Am I missing any?
No.
New Orleans was fun.
Yeah.
Now we all went down a few years ago on Thanksgiving to see you in New Orleans. And what was it? What was the highlight of living in New Orleans for you?
Mardi Gras, no?
Mardi Gras, okay. Well, I know that I still have hanging on my wall at home. You read tarot cards.
I did.
That's yeah. A pretty. Yeah. I feel like Alex Trebek on Jeopardy is going along saying, "And now, Nick, you read tarot cards in New Orleans."
Well.
And you're supposed to come up with some pithy like response to Alex.
I should. in fact, you know, I mean, it's all it's, and in fact, I believed it at the time as well. But now even more so, I think it's just people want answers, and tarot cards are a way to give people a very easy answer. It's not that the answer is right or that it's necessarily deep or wise. It's simply like an answer. People are desperate for it.
Okay.
That's quite grim, but anyway, that's my opinion.
Okay, well, now you're back in Louisville for a few weeks, and we've done some fun things, had some Christmas. What's changed about Louisville since you remember it?
No more ear ecstasy. It's been a while.
That is. You're while. Dating yourself there. But ear ecstasy is long gone.
But anyway, certain businesses obviously haven't managed to survive. Everything is more or less the same, except that there are some businesses that have crossed the street, like Heine Brothers.
You didn't like the move, the Heine Brothers move across the street.
I don't mind it. I honestly don't know anything about it. I'm a stranger to this place, so.
Yeah.
I say?
Yeah, it does change. It's been many years since you lived here. Yeah. You're 28 now, and that's quite a That's quite a thing. You we were talking on the way over here about JCPS, mm-hmm. and that you and Josh went to Manual, and we were tossing about around opinions about JCPS. Mm-hmm. Let's toss them out in around in here.
Okay. One thing I can say is for sure, Manual continues to be a good story when I'm reflecting on my life and on my high school experience. Manual continues to be like one of the absolute highlights. I mean, it's incredible what JCPS has managed to achieve with Manual. It's really an excellent institution, an excellent school, okay. and we should all be very proud of Manual.
And you had a different experience than Josh had, you know, because you were in.
I was in the
visual arts. Josh was in MST. Yeah.
Yes.
You equally high on Manual, Josh?
Yeah. I mean, I love Manual. It was definitely great for me. I know that there's probably some differing opinions in the rest of the city because, you know, not everyone does. You know, not every school is as nice as Manual, and I'm sure, you know, there's some people that think resources. I don't really know, you know, all the ways resources are handled and whatnot, but I'm sure that some people would think that Manual probably gets, you know, unfairly the pick of all the students that they want, and they are allowed to say no to people because they don't really have to have homeschool kids, and, you know.
Yeah, they do, if that's the point.
Yeah, I know, and, you know, it's great for Manual, but I'm sure it probably, you know, maybe if there were, you know, some of the smarter kids are more littered out through all the schools, it might help everybody, but then again, you wouldn't have the one really great school that we have. In
fact, the synergism between between students, I mean, it's like the classical presentation of a kind of university before university, which is where you would be secluded into a kind of learning environment. This was the original idea of a university, and that's where it comes from, universe, etc. But I think Manual manages to create a learning environment where, I mean, for me anyway, it was it saved me, saved my life. It was a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful environment for learning. I don't really think about, let's say, how the rest of the city was doing, because my education was so sufficient.
Yeah, well, you were closed in. Luke, you had a different experience with JCPS.
Yeah, I went to Eastern High School for 3.5 years and did my senior year in the JCPS online school program. And I would say Eastern is a great school, but it is not Manual, and it suffers from many of the things that you would expect from a school that gets many of its kids from the homeschool program and gets many kids that live very far away from Eastern. Eastern in particular has a problem of you get very smart kids, many kids who applied to Manual and didn't get in, and you get a lot of them. And then there is pretty much no integration between that group, kids who take AP classes, and kids who take the the honor level classes.
Okay, so there's a segregation between ability levels.
Yes, and you see huge differences in teachers and huge differences in the interest of students. You know, I had good classes and I had very, very bad classes.
All right. Well, very interesting. I always tell people, you know, I'm a big advocate for public schools and JCPS, and you guys are proof that you can excel and succeed in public schools, and all done very well for yourself. So proud of you for that. And look, guys, we made it through the first segment. I see this size of relief coming through. But anyway, we got another segment coming up with Luke Nick and Josh, and the Rusty Satellite Show will be right back.
Heiser Health, your complete health source for preventative medicine and optimum health. Visit the experts of medical doctors and nurse practitioners so they can evaluate your overall health and your health as you age. Heiser Health uses the primary preventative technique of nutrition with real food and effective exercise. If you qualify, you may need hormone replacement to optimize your health. Call the experts at Heiser Health, 502-882-4252.
Hello, and welcome back to the Rusty Satellite Show. This is Nick Redding. Let me throw it back to Rick Redding.
All right, Nick. I'm happy to be hosting the Rusty Satellite Show here for the 286th time and my favorite time, because I got all three of my sons here in the room, which only happens at least for the last, I think, 4 or 5 years, once a year, we're all in the same room. Right?
Sounds right.
It's rare.
Correct.
It's rare. As you remember, Nick lives in Italy. Josh is out in Colorado. Luke hangs out with me here in Louisville. So this segment is devoted to Josh, who is a, what do you call yourself, software developer?
Yeah, software engineer.
I'm thrilled. You've been there like 3 years. I finally got my first piece of Google swag for Christmas. Thank you.
I've been there almost 2 years.
All right.
But yes.
I got a nice bag from Google, and I've been out there to see the, to feast at the Google cafeteria. Where you get, yeah. It, free food is the best part of the job.
Financials are pretty nice as well.
And there was once a vacation, like, don't they, like, take you on a vacation every once in a while?
I got lucky there where I had started about 6 months before a big, you know, like, multi-year project had finished up, and they took everyone to Hawaii to kind of commemorate that effort, and since I had started before it was over, I got to go as well.
There you go. Well, I remember you talking about the interview process. It was really it's really tough. You had to go twice.
I tried initially right out of college, and you essentially, well, at first you have to do a phone interview, which is 50.
But the whiteboard part was the part that intrigued me.
Well, on the phone, you have to write code on a Google Doc over.
Oh, wow.
So you're writing, it's not just you talking to somebody, it's you have to perform for them. And if you do that well, then they'll bring you on site, and you do that 5 times in a day. So
wow.
It's a pretty stressful day.
It's stressful. Well, you succeeded, so congratulations on that. But important thing, one of the things we said we were going to talk about is like millennials in Louisville. And you didn't move for that job. You moved because you wanted to move to Colorado.
I'd grown up in Louisville, went to Emanuel, went to Louisville. I'd been here for 22 years, and I was ready to try something new. I had just gotten married to Sarah. Shout out to Sarah. And I'm sure she'll be listening. It's her favorite.
Hi, Sarah. Yeah, I'm sure she listens every week.
So we both kind of wanted a new adventure, and I wouldn't really blame Louisville for us wanting to leave. We had both been here our whole life. We wanted to be somewhere where it was easier to be in the outdoors, and Louisville, it's, you know, we've been to, you can go to Red, not, what is it out there?
The Red Rocks.
No, the one in Louisville, not in Louisville, out in Kentucky. I can't think of the name, where we all went camping.
Oh, yeah.
Red River Gorge.
Red River Gorge.
One of those are names.
Which is a beautiful, beautiful place, and anyone should go out there. But, you know, it's really one of the only places like that in driving distance that's, you know, really great for that kind of outdoor thing, where Colorado is like, you know, it's in the Rocky Mountains. It's
Red River's everywhere. We had a great time this summer. We went to see my man Lyle Lovett at the Red Rocks Amphitheater.
Yeah, it's, you know, also great. And, you know, I think population-wise, Denver is pretty similar to Louisville. But it it definitely feels like a bigger city when you're there.
I'd say. Well, it's much cooler. We were talking, all of us together, we were talking about the transit system, the transportation system, which I think my times in Denver has been really cool.
Yeah, well, it has, they have light rails that, you know, it can get you from most of the suburb type areas to downtown pretty quickly. And also just Denver specifically has a ton of bike trails that are separate from like the roads and stuff. And you can go, you can bike all around Denver without even being on a road, which is really nice.
I wonder all the old farts in Denver complained to the mayor about all the bike lanes like they did around here.
I think Denver is, you know, it's kind of known as being, you know, everyone's very fit and likes to do things. So I think
it's exactly. It's a lot different. I know. So good. I'm satisfied now that you didn't move out there for the pot.
Yeah, right. not 100%
for the pot. All right. Well, we were in the car talking, and Luke, you take the TARC all the time now around town, and we were talking about whether what millennials want, what young people want to do, and whether Louisville has it or not, right? So what do you think?
I would say the TARC system is slow. It is, but it is free if you're a student, and it's only $1.50 if you're not. And it's unfortunately has a reputation of being even dangerous. I've certainly heard that on campus, and it's certainly not the best public transportation, but it is a public transportation. It takes me an hour to go from Middletown to downtown for my daily commute to school.
Wow.
And I've done that for 3 semesters.
Okay. And like we can remember back, it's kind of a long time ago, but Nick, you never drove. And no. You never failed to get where you needed to go.
No.
I don't think.
And, I would even, I remember, in fact, we had one morning where we took our bikes to school, to Manual, but from Jeffersontown, from J-Town. So that was like a...
Rode the whole way?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. You didn't think to put the bike on front of the bus like they do?
Obviously, that was an option. No, it was more like, you know, in those days we were, there was a lot more fear about peak oil and these kind of things that now have been, haven't actually come to terms, so.
Well, I was surprised to hear you say that, you know, one thing that is here now that wasn't then is scooters, and you said you wouldn't use one of those things. Which I thought, and I can't understand why, you know, Luke, you don't want to use a scooter either.
I like walking, and the scooters do cost money.
Okay.
I would be afraid to ride the scooters on the streets. I don't think the cars, I mean, aren't you supposed to be on the streets?
You're supposed to be on the streets, but I don't think anyone follows. I don't think any
cars are.
And you're supposed to wear a helmet. You're supposed to wear a helmet.
Yeah, pretty much they exclusively ride on the sidewalks. Yeah.
I mean, I think one of Louisville's problems with public transportation is that no one even thinks to use the TARC. I mean, it's not you. I mean, never had us ride the TARC growing up, and then we just assume that, you know, Nick obviously found out about it and used it. But I think most kids, they don't even consider it an option. And really, I think a lot of millennials want public transportation. Not millennials, because everyone has a phone and they have this computer in their pocket, and obviously a lot of crashes happen because they want to use it while they're going and driving. And I know I use public transportation in Colorado a lot, and it's honestly it's not even a big deal because you're just on your phone the whole time, and that's what everyone wants to do, is have time to be on their phone. And there's no better time to be on your phone than riding
than when
the
you're
bus.
Trying to ignore other people in a crowded place.
The people I see ride the TARC ride it out of, there's almost no one riding it who doesn't have a car. They ride it out of necessity, and that is a shame, because the car, using a car, is not always the best option.
Okay. Well, I know when I talk to my my friends who also have kids, and I say, I got two out of three don't even drive. It's unusual. So
certainly there's many of my peers who view their cars as the freedom, as the ticket to freedom and independence.
Yeah.
It's much easier to not drive in Italy than in the U.S., I will say.
Yeah, I was gonna ask about transportation in Italy, how you get around over there.
You just go to the train station and you get on a train.
Okay.
I mean, the organization of the cities is so centralized in a way which is, let's say, very 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 different from the way that American cities were conceived.
Okay.
So, if I have something I want to do in Florence, for example, I can just take an hour train there. And
you've been like all over Europe. You haven't confined yourself to Italy while you're there in these 3 years.
Yeah, I have been around, but I've mostly confined myself to Europe, to Italy.
Okay.
Actually.
All right. Well, what an adventure you're on. You know, it makes a lot of people around here envious.
Not what I want.
All right, Josh. Well, you know, this is your segment. You got anything to add?
Well, I mean, I don't know if we went to talk more about why you seem to think there's a problem with getting millennials to come to Louisville.
Well, there is always that concern. All the economic development people mm-hmm. want to have things that will bring, you know, they talk about brain drain and bringing people back, and people mm-hmm. like you and all your, like a lot of your friends are not here.
Yeah, right? No, I would say most of my friends growing up no longer live here, but I don't think that's as fair because I guess this might be different about our generation, but we want to experience new things. We don't want to live in the same place our whole lives, and I think a lot of them may end up back in Louisville at some point, but I think if worrying about attracting other people that aren't from Louisville here, I think it is going to be an uphill battle, honestly.
Because what do you think we need?
Well, I think a lot of it is perception. You know, just being from Colorado, you tell people you're from Kentucky, they don't know the difference between Louisville, Kentucky, and, you know, nowhere Kentucky
in the sticks.
I hear this all the time. You online.
Don't. They, you know, you're from Kentucky. You are, you know, they don't say you're a hick, but you know, I can't imagine they're not thinking it.
Sometimes they do.
So I think that's a first published problem. But then you have like places like Nashville, which has overcome that because Nashville has this identity, I think, as like a cool, hip place for young people. I don't think Louisville has developed that, and I'm not sure how it does that. It's, you know, Nashville kind of has an identity of being,
maybe get an NBA team. Yeah, like that would,
you know,
help.
Sports teams, I think, would definitely help. At least, you know, to provide a cool factor. You know, I don't know, but I think Louisville is kind of like a local town. You know, it's people grow up here and they live here their whole lives, and I feel like there's not a ton of transplants. Yeah. I could be wrong, where Denver's Colorado and Boulder, it's the exact
all
opposite.
Transplants.
It's, yeah, nobody's a native there.
You know anybody from Kentucky out there and at Google where you work?
There is one person that went to Manual. I know. There's another person that graduated from Louisville. But,
okay.
Yeah, it's not.
Few and far between.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, that's going to wrap up this segment, guys. We did it, and so the Redding Family Podcast will continue in just a moment. We've got one more segment.
Welcome back to the Rusty Satellite Show. This is Josh. This is the third segment, and we're going to talk to my youngest brother, Luke.
Hello.
That reminds me of how you were like 15 before you changed the answering message on your phone, and it sounded like an 8-year-old.
No, that was
it. Was an 8-year-old?
That was hilarious. It was like, "Hello, this is Luke. Leave a message."
Mom really was really sad about that when I changed that.
I couldn't get you to do it soon enough.
Who was calling?
It probably
me?
Didn't help
no
you
one,
get girls.
No one called me. Who calls people?
All right, Luke.
So no one even makes voicemail like welcome messages anymore. Yeah. Like
it's ridiculous. Who listens to their voicemails?
The times have changed.
Yeah. Things have changed. We're all in a new tech world. And but look, you're 20 and you're getting ready to be 21.
Correct.
That's a big day.
Is it
coming up for most people?
Doesn't seem like that big of a day.
Well, we could have gotten in. Where were we trying to get in the other night? We were trying to get in the back door the other night. We couldn't get in because
two months
short.
Yeah, Puritan politics.
We couldn't buy beer before one at Kroger.
Yeah, that's true. So you got all that ahead of you. And but I'd like to have you explain to people how you came to decide you wanted to be a history professor.
I mean, it's pretty simple. I feel like most people gravitate towards what they are interested in as a child when they're adults. And my favorite classes in school were always history classes. For a long time, I thought I was going to follow in Josh's footsteps and be a software developer or some kind of tech job. I decided that was boring. So I've decided that history is not boring. And I really
is it boring, Josh?
It involves a lot of sitting in front of a computer for long stretches of time.
Sounds pretty boring.
But, you know, it's mentally stimulating.
There you go.
And, you know, it pays well.
Doing theater is not boring.
We have opposite ends of the spectrum, as I've always said. So what's your path, Luke? Because, you know, you got it all in front of you. You're getting ready to turn 21. What's your path? You're enrolled at the University of Louisville this semester.
Yeah, I just finished doing my general education classes at JCTC, which was great. It's good. It's a great program where you can take classes for cheap and then go to U of L.
Okay. So your plan is to get an undergrad degree from U of L, and then the start.
Yeah, and then that's when real education starts and move on to doing my master's and my doctorate studies.
Wow.
Where do you think you want to go for that kind?
The number one pick right now would be the University of Chicago, which is a very highly regarded school, but there's lots of schools to look at.
Okay, very good. And you studied, you took your first semester of Japanese for the first time. How was that?
It was studying a language, so it is difficult. Japanese a bit more difficult because there is a completely different alphabet that is very foreign to English, but it's fun.
Yeah.
English, language studying is always fun.
Well, your brother next door set the pace in the family with you consider yourself like fluent in Italian.
I can conduct myself more or less fluently in Italian.
And so much so that you're teaching young Chinese children how to speak
English. Yeah. So it has nothing to do with my Italian fluency.
Italian not very useful for the Chinese.
But the fact that I have managed to conduct business, and I graduated, let's say, a year ago in October. And since then, there was quite a long period of time where I didn't exactly know what I was going to do after graduating. Now, and thanks to the fact that my Italian has gotten better, it's possible to, let's say, conduct business there in Italy.
All right.
I actually know the most language in the family, though. So.
programming languages are not foreign languages.
C#, Java. Yeah,
those aren't languages yet.
Well, you know.
They can. Are they as difficult as a foreign language?
I would say learning one of them is as difficult, but then once you know one, you kind of know. You know, they're pretty easy to jump in between. But learning the first one is hard. But yeah, that was really just a joke. I took about 5 years of Spanish through probably more than that, and I don't know any Spanish. So
yeah, well that's what happens.
How do you say cheese omelet in C+?
You know, I think you would. I don't have a good.
Yeah, it's not. Response it's not really a language, is it?
So we've had quite a lot of fun since you guys have been back. Well, let's talk about I didn't realize that I was missing out on all these memes.
Talk about memes.
Yeah, is this where the conversation is going?
Podcast is taking off right now.
What's my meme is the parlor game we tried yesterday. And
we did, yeah.
Memes are overtaking the world.
I think I was at a loss because I didn't know. You guys all knew the images before.
Yeah. Are you aware of memes? Do you know?
I know what they are, but I didn't know there were games involving them and that there were popular ones and not popular, trendy ones, I guess.
Yeah, it's called internet culture.
Well, Paint Me is behind the scenes. I do have a podcast and all that.
Yeah, so. You should be a part of this internet culture. You got to develop your own memes.
Should. Maybe that'll be something we can work on. So anyway, Luke, that's your thing. You and I, we have our regular lunch thing. We hang out, and you have been to a lot of restaurants in Louisville as a result of.
I have been, me. I guess. Yeah, I can put that under my.
What belt. Are some of your What are your some of your favorites?
I really like Wix.
Okay, Wix.
I really like
things I can't eat anymore.
I really like that place that you live next to.
Check it in me.
That is probably cool spot. That is probably my favorite place, actually.
Okay.
What is that?
Chicken and Me. Down on Frankfurt.
Fried chicken?
It is Asian-based, Asian-influenced fried chicken. Mm-hmm. It's really, it's really
very good.
I'm looking for a lunch spot.
Yeah, we should go there after this.
They don't. Right, we could go now, but they don't. They're not open for lunch. But Josh, you just had your culinary treat of that you have to have when you come back, which is?
Ollie's Trolley.
Okay.
Best burgers in town.
I don't imagine a lot of people look forward to going to Ollie's Trolley when they come back to town.
Yeah, I mean, me and my wife, we go usually whenever we come back because it's great. I know. Did you ever go down there, Luke?
Yeah, it gets a thumbs up from me.
Okay,
it's good stuff.
Luke's not that picky now, but I guess we'll save this for last. Nick, you are the originator of the world famous. We were talking about this pizza club.
Well. It's from Home Movies, the cartoon, but
you stole it. But we actually practiced it for a long time.
We did practice it.
And did you have a favorite after all that? We probably went to a couple dozen different.
You know, I
pizza
mean,
joints
it's,
over.
It's funny how memory works because I don't really remember like a pizza that I loved the most, but I do remember during this time that I learned that I don't like potatoes on.
I don't think I do either.
Sounds like
that's not.
I mean, like, when were you having potatoes on pizza? That's weird.
There was. I mean, I don't want to say a place because probably. Because I think probably my brain is just trying to think of like what's the place I can think of, but I'm sure it wasn't that. But there was a place that served us. You know, it wasn't even fried potatoes. It was like just boiled slice of potato, and like that's just. It wasn't really very enjoyable.
There was a pizza like that at
does not sound appetizing.
At Boomba's. No, so we can go ahead and say that
it must have been Boomba's. Then.
Yeah, it probably was.
Boomba's has good sure pizza though. So
we
think
spent.
I think it was Boomba's.
Sounds just like subpar. Ordering by you guys.
I mean, well, look. Sometimes you see something that just confuses you on a menu, and you have to address it by ordering it.
That's
fair enough. And then it comes in front of you, and you have to eat it. And well, then you know you're in a state of chaos at that point.
Have you been down to Napoli to?
Is that Napoli?
Napoli to have their pizza.
The city, or is that a place?
Am I saying it wrong?
Napoli. In Italy?
In Italy, yeah.
No. But there is a, shout out. There's a wonderful place in Arezzo called Oskunizo, which is a, I mean, basically the people from Napoli have managed to fan themselves out across Italy. So there's a Napoli pizza place in almost every city.
Okay.
The one in Arezzo is really wonderful. It's amazing.
Oh, there you go. So we got to decide we can do that here on the show. Where are we going to go to eat, guys?
Well, I had Ollie's, so. Was I supposed to play along there?
Yeah, you play along.
We're
play
going along to go eat. So.
You got. I always leave it to you to have a suggestion, and then I usually end up choosing.
So is Chicken and Me not going to be open?
I don't think it opens till 4, and it's only like 3. Sorry. We could wait.
Have you guys heard about this new hot chicken place? I don't know if it's that new.
What new? What place?
Louis on Poplar Level?
No, I don't think I know that one.
I want the most like Americanified food that I can possibly put in my body, like the full of like lard. If it's cooked in lard, that's what I want.
All right, I guess we'll find a Cracker Barrel.
not a Cracker Barrel, something.
Yeah, was Waffle House not good enough for you?
It made me sick.
Yeah.
Waffle House. So we've all had a different experience with food. Well,
reeling podcast stuff going.
Yeah.
On.
Let's wrap this up and think about
a real treat for everyone who's listening this long.
But I hope the audience out there has enjoyed meeting my three sons, Nick, Josh, and Luke. Thank you guys for coming in and having such interesting lives. It's
been
really
an absolute pleasure.
It's been all right.
It's been great, right, Josh?
Yeah, it's just a real thrill to be part of the Rusty Satellite Show.
Come on, Josh.
All right, that will do it for another episode of the Rusty Satellite Show, the final one of 2018. I hope you have big plans for 2019. As New Year's Eve is Monday. It's coming up Monday. So, again, it's a real pleasure to do this show each and every week, and especially this week, I have my three sons on here as guests. That concludes 286 consecutive weeks of episodes of the Rusty Satellite Show. And somebody's going to say something here in a second.
Go Cards. Beat Cats.
Yeah, we've got to beat the Cats on Saturday. Thanks to Passport Health Plan, the Eye Care Institute, and Heiser Health for sponsoring the show, making it all possible. You can catch a lot of stuff that's going on in Louisville at LouisvilleKY.com, the Pulse of the City. That's the website that I operate with a few buddies of mine. And that's it. Happy New Year to you, and we'll hope to have you back here in 2019.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, at Ricky Redding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to louisvilleky.com, the pulse of the city.